So the notion of the Spirit of God pervades the Hebrew Bible. I mean, you have the prophets often enough beginning their prophecies by saying, "The Spirit of God is upon me," blah, 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 and then follows from that. So what's it mean? Spirit means breath or wind. And it is the enlivening power of God. That's what the Spirit is. It makes us more alive. And you get in these readings different versions of what it is to be alive, that strangers can understand each other. In the book of Acts, where Luke consciously turns back the Tower of Babel story. Paul talks about variety of ministries, that we are all interdependent on each other. That's what it means to be alive, to the extent that we are aware of that interdependence, we are alive. The best understanding of the Spirit that I have ever come across, and I've said this before, is from Karl Rahner, the great German theologian, who, when asked, "How do we know the Spirit of God is about?" And his answer is a very telling one. He says, "Whenever one human being takes another human being seriously, there is the Spirit of God." Okay, that sounds innocent and harmless enough on the face of it. You know, okay, I'll take you seriously. But what goes into taking another person seriously? Normally, I don't think we take each other seriously. I think we filter our encounters with other people through our own set of prejudices or narrowness or biases. And so the Spirit of God is that which enables us, first of all, to be aware of those limitations in ourselves. To be aware of the narrowness of our vision. And to be open to the other. But that's a tough job, to be open to the other. What does that mean? It means I have to displace my own ego from the center of my consciousness to accommodate the reality of the other. It's an enormously difficult task, I think. It is for me, at least. It is to acknowledge the other, first of all, in their otherness. We so often simply project our own desires or appetites or ambitions onto the other. And the other is acceptable insofar as they satisfy those appetites or desires. But that's not what taking another person seriously involves. It is a kind of evacuation of our sense of things to enable the other to emerge in their own reality as they are. Not as we would wish them to be. Not as we would like them to be. And in that process, to become aware of our interdependence. To the extent that I don't accommodate the other, I am incomplete. Again, a terribly difficult and yes, absolutely central task for us human beings. To make room for the other, the real other, not the imagined other, not the wished for other, not the desired other, but the other in their precisely otherness. And when that happens, as Rahner says, and I think he's dead right, That's where the Spirit of God is. That's where we become alive. That's where we become real. And so it's a very useful notion, because we can see in that construction of things our own limitations, our own narrowness, our own self-containment, which excludes the other rather than accommodates the other. So that's why it is absolutely vital to understand what the Spirit does. Because it's, you know, the Spirit, all right, the Ghost. Remember, we used to say Holy Ghost, which is not a very helpful way of talking, I don't think. The Holy Ghost. You ever heard of a Holy Ghost? But there you have it. But God breathing in us that power, that enlivening power to see the other, and therefore come to an awareness of our interdependence, of our own incompletion, of our own narrowness. That's why Pentecost is a big deal. You say, oh, it's the birthday of the church. Well, what does that mean? The church means a community called by God. That's what the word church means. The Greek word ekklesia. The community constituted by God, as opposed to the regular forms of community, or often enough, pseudo-community that we have. You know, a kind of smug, self-satisfied way. Well, I know everything. Everybody's in their place, and I'm in my place, and so everything is just Jim Dandy. Well, that's not true. So it's an enormously important feast, because that's what the church is supposed to be. We're a variety of gifts, as Paul will say over and over and over in his letters. And all of those gifts are complementary to me and to my gift. That's why it makes all kinds of sense to pray, as that Kathy read that wonderful poem in the sequence. Come, Holy Ghost. Come, Holy Ghost.